Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church of Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Good morning, Las Vegas. Welcome to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast. My name is John Racine with the Church at Las Vegas. We're glad that you're able to be here and listening this morning. I wanted to start off this morning before we jump back into Acts chapter 8 again with some what are called sentence fillers. These a lot of times are things that you put in church bulletins and different things like that. They're little one sentence kind of things that kind of pack a little bit of a punch if you think about it. And so here's a few of them that I really liked. A scandal is a little wind blown up by a couple of wind bags. All right, so let's not be people that gossip or slander or spread abroad scandals and mischievous things, but let's be careful about the things that we're saying. Here's another one. Never argue with a fool. Onlookers may not be able to tell which is which. I thought that was pretty good. Never argue with a fool. Onlookers may not be able to tell which is which. And here is the last one that I wanted to share this morning. You are not a dynamic personality just because you're always exploding. All right? Well, sometimes people lose their tempers a little bit too much. And as I've always said, I wish sometimes people would lose their temper for good, right? You're not a dynamic personality just because you're always exploding. The Bible says that man's anger doesn't bring about the righteous life that God desires. We need to be angry for the right things, but even in our anger, we need to make sure not to sin. And the Bible also says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. So husbands, wives, you know, don't, if there's any disagreements, if there's any difficulties, if there's been any harsh words or misunderstandings or whatever it is, make sure you take care of that before the sun goes down, before you turn in for the night, all right? All right, let's go back to Acts chapter 8. Remember in Acts chapter 8 that there was a great persecution that broke out against the church, and all but the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Now, this is exactly what the Lord wanted to happen with the gospel. Now, you know, unfortunately, the persecution is what seemed to have brought that about. But here's the thing. Jesus told his apostles to, from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the ends of the earth, that the gospel is to go out. And so now it's going out because of persecution. And it says that as they scattered, those who had scattered in chapter 8, verse 4, preached the word wherever they went. You know, the gospel and the word of God is always something to be shared wherever we are. When Jesus told the apostles in Matthew chapter 18 that all authority in heaven and on earth had been given to him, and he said, go and make disciples of all the nations. So it's the idea of not, you have to go somewhere, it's as you go, wherever you go, that you're always ready to be able to tell someone or share the gospel with someone or ask someone questions or be able to answer their questions or to give a reason for the way that you believe and why you believe that. And so this is what they did. They went wherever they went preaching the word. Now, it focuses on Philip. We talked about Philip a little bit, that Philip was able to do these miraculous signs and wonders, and paralytics were healed, and different things were happening. Demons were being driven out, impure spirits, and it shows us back in Acts chapter 6 that the reason that Philip was able to do that and these others is because the apostles had set them aside for a specific task and had laid their hands on them. And so they had received the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit had distributed to them through the laying on of the apostles' hands. Okay, before Acts chapter 6, the only people that we see recorded doing miracles and signs and wonders is the apostles themselves. But now, interestingly enough, some of those that the apostles laid their hands on, now they also were able to do these signs and wonders. And that's what Philip had done there in Samaria. Now, also in Samaria, there was this man named Simon that we talked about last week. This man that was called the Great Power of God. The people called him that, and he led them. And he had quite a following, and they had been amazed by his sorcery, his magic, and the things that he was doing. It says in verse 12, "But when they believed Philip, as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized." Now, why does Luke record that for us there? Well, here's another instance where those who had never heard the gospel, after they heard it, it shows us their response to the gospel. Now, you'll notice that it says, when they believed Philip, as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized. And Simon himself believed and was baptized. Now, why does it say that? Well, because Jesus told his apostles to go and make disciples and what? Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Baptism is a response to the gospel of grace. It's not a work on our part. It's a response to God's grace. Just like believing is a response. Just like repentance is a response. Just like confession is a response. It's a response to God's grace. And frankly, even after we have been born again and raised up to walk in newness of life, not through our righteousness, but through the power of God, okay, our life is still a choice that we have. We continue to walk by faith. We continue to love God and love each other. We continue to be obedient to God. And you know what? There's sometimes we don't. And when we don't do that, then God expects us to what? Repent and confess our sins. And he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And somebody says, oh, well, then I can just sin as much as I want then, right? And when I sin, God's just going to forgive me. Well, sin is very deceitful and tricky. And so don't think that you can willfully sin and just get away with it. It has an effect on you. You may get tangled all up in it again. It may cause you and people around you a lot of strife and a lot of hurt and a lot of problems when you go. It's far better to shun evil. It's far better to stay away from sin than to plunge back into it or even dabble around in it again. We are not called to go back into the darkness. God brought us out of the darkness. We're to walk as children of light. But God doesn't make us do that. That's something that we get to choose to do each day. What God has done for us, he's raised us up to walk in newness of life. He has made us a new creation in Christ. We have the Spirit of God in our life, the power of God to overcome the temptations and the trials and the error of wickedness in this life. Okay, but we have to choose so. We have to choose. So these people in Samaria, when Philip proclaimed the good news, they believed and were baptized. In Mark chapter 16, when Mark records Jesus' last words to the disciples, it says in verse 15, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned." So clearly, in those two passages, in Matthew and Mark, baptism is very much a response of faith to the grace of God in the good news about Jesus and what he did for us on the cross. And so they believed and were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized. And he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. Now, in verse 14, it says, "When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria." So, hey, the word got back that, wow, the people here in Samaria are responding to the gospel. Now, that would have been something a Jew would have had a real difficult time with in one way, because they didn't have a very great love for Samaritans. You think about the parable of the Good Samaritan that Jesus told a teacher of the law, a scribe, because he wanted to justify himself about who his neighbor was. And of course, the Good Samaritan was about the man that was beat up and left on the side of the road. And the priest passed by and didn't do anything. The Levite passed by and didn't do anything. But here came a Samaritan, and he took the man and bandaged his wounds and took him to an inn and gave money to the innkeeper to take care of him. And he said, when I come back, if you use more than that, I'll pay you. He took care of him. Okay, he showed love toward him. And he was a Samaritan. And so when the apostles heard that those in Samaria accepted the word of God, hey, they wanted to see it themselves. And so they sent Peter and John to Samaria. It says in verse 15, when they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to just think about that for a little bit as we listen to this first song this morning, a song from Jonathan Thulin called The Dead Come to Life. Because when a person hears the gospel of Christ, accepts it, believes it, trusts its message, and says, God, I need Jesus as my Savior. I repent in sackcloth and ashes, as it were. I want to turn away from my sin and turn to a relationship with you, God. I'm willing to tell the whole world that Jesus is the only one that can save me, because he died on the cross for me and he tasted death and he rose from the grave on that third day. And then when a person is baptized into Christ, this is where God does his work. He washes our sins away. He raises us up to walk in newness of life, and he gives us the gift of his Holy Spirit. We're sealed, as it were, with the Holy Spirit. He becomes our down payment, guaranteeing what's to come as we continue to walk by faith. But what we see here in Acts chapter 8 is something a little bit different than that. So I want to take it a little bit slow as we go through here, as we have time today. But let's listen to this first song again, The Dead Come to Life.
Come to life, dead come to life.
All right, what a great song that is. The dead come to life. And of course, not literally, physically, but spiritually to begin with. But at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, all of the dead literally will come to life and be resurrected from the grave. I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to that time when Christ returns and the dead come to life. But let's talk about this whole thing that's happening here. Again, in chapter 8 of Acts and verse 15, when Peter and John arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit. So their prayer was that, Lord, you know, these new disciples of yours, these new followers of Jesus Christ, you know, they need some of those miraculous spiritual gifts that were part of the foundation of the church so that they could have understanding and wisdom, and so that the different parts of the body would function until the New Testament, the complete revelation that the Holy Spirit was going to guide the apostles and prophets into, had been given to the church. And so they prayed that they might receive the Holy Spirit. It says in verse 16, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. Okay, so that's interesting, is that the Holy Spirit had not come on any of them. And Philip was obviously someone that told them that. The apostles Peter and John obviously saw that hadn't happened. And so this is why they're praying for them, that they might receive the Holy Spirit. And it says that the Holy Spirit had not yet come on them. It says they had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, now here's the thing. If we go back to Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, when Peter was first preaching the gospel, when he was preaching his message and he confronted Israel with this statement in Acts chapter 2 and verse 36, God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Messiah. And it says in verse 37, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. Now, not all of them that were there, but those that accepted what Peter had shared, they accepted his challenge and his rebuke here. When they accepted that, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? In other words, how shall we respond to this? What do we do? Okay, you've pointed all these truths out. We agree with them. We believe them. We've accepted them. What do we do with them? And Peter replied in verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Okay, so we've talked about this before, but how does the Lord our God call people to him? Well, he calls them to him through the gospel. Okay, it's not just an indiscriminate, okay, you come and you can't come, you come and you can't come, and I'll draw you and push you away. God does not do that, folks. God wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. And so here's the thing. God has predestined and said absolutely and sovereignly that the only way that mankind may be saved is through Jesus Christ. We cannot change that. We have no authority to change that. God's not changing his mind about it, because he's already said he was going to in the old covenant, in the prophecies. Jesus came and fulfilled those prophecies. And so here's the thing. There is no other way to be saved except through Jesus Christ. God has sovereignly determined that. However, anyone who chooses to respond, to accept the truth of the gospel message about Jesus Christ, they can become a disciple of Christ. They can become a follower of Christ. So how does God call people? Through the gospel, through the good news about Jesus Christ, just as Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost. And when people begin to respond to that, when people accept those truths, when people ask questions, when people wrestle with those things and their faith begins to grow and to develop and they start hearing with a different kind of ear, well, guess what? They come to the point where they too say, what shall we do? And the point is, and it was on the day of Pentecost, Peter didn't say, believe. They had already believed. They demonstrated their belief by saying, what shall we do? If they didn't believe it, they would have scoffed at him and mocked at him or walked away. The very fact that they're saying, what shall I do, shows that they believed his message. And in fact, this is what it says in verse 41. Those who accepted his message were what? Were baptized. Because no one would say, oh, well, you know, Peter didn't expect anybody to be baptized. I mean, he just expected them to believe. No, he didn't. He expected them to accept the message, to believe the message, and then repent and be baptized. Simple as that. No difficulty at all. And so baptism has unfortunately become some kind of a, well, if you get around to it, I guess you should, or, you know, to join a particular church, I guess you should, or, you know, whenever it's convenient for you, or, hey, you know what, if you never be baptized, what difference does it make? You believe. That's not what the Bible says, folks. I'm sorry. Read it yourself. It's right there. Okay? Of course, it's no more or less important than any other response to God in faith, as far as our salvation is concerned, but it is a response. And they showed that by saying, okay, they accepted his message. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day in Acts chapter 2. So when you go back to Acts chapter 17, it's no wonder that they believed and were baptized, that Simon believed and was baptized. And so we know that when it says down here in verse 16, that they had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, we know that at that point they received what we call the indwelling of the Holy Spirit at that time. I want you to think about these things. We're going to listen to our last song this morning. This is a song by Jonathan Thulin called Architecture. And isn't God's architecture and plan of salvation amazing and wonderful as we consider how good he is to us? Let's listen.
At the heart of your design. So here I stand on what you build. You are surrounding me, and the walls will never, ever, ever come down. You build me up like a city of gold. The battles rage, but I'm standing tall. Your architecture.
of time again this morning. Man, the time goes by so fast. Thank you so much for listening. Consider the words that we've said this morning. Go back and reread Acts chapter 8 for yourself up through verse 17. And if you have questions or concerns, please come and ask us. We would love to take your questions and point you to the Word of God. We're willing to listen what you believe and how you understand it. Our goal is to just be pleasing to God and to follow His Word as best we can. We need each other to do that. And so come and join us at the Church at Las Vegas. We meet at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard. That's where we meet, 3388 South Decatur Boulevard, Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6 o'clock. And Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. Again, we're going through a great series in Proverbs on Wednesday night. Come out and join us. You can learn out more about us online at thechurchatlasvegas.com, thechurchatlasvegas.com, and you can ask questions through email if you'd like to do that as well. Whatever your circumstance or situation is, please get in touch with us. Let us know. Thanks for listening. God bless you. Until next time, keep standing on the solid rock, the rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen.